And I invite you to take your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John, almost to the very end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2. And let's begin with verse 15. We'll read down through verse 17. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Lord, please help us this morning. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you'd guide my thoughts, that you would help me to say what would be a help and a blessing and an encouragement in our walk with you. Lord, help us to identify areas in our life that need growth, areas where we've been following our lusts instead of following you and not loving you. And Lord, I pray that you would show us those areas and help us to be discerning. Lord, we thank you for your great love towards us. Help us to grow deeper with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us here that we are not to love the world, the things in the world. Of course, God is not referring here to the people. He's not saying don't love people, for we know that God wants us to care about others. The lost, he is concerned about, and so should we. People in our community, people we work with, God loves those people. But God is saying that we should not be following the lusts of the world. Notice there in verse 16, God divides it into three basic categories of lusts. All that is in the world, it says the lust of the flesh. That's what I want, what the old nature desires. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Through our windows of our heart, the windows of our soul, we look out and we desire things. We see, hey, they have that. I wish I had that. There can be envy and jealousy, and those are the lusts of our eyes. And then the pride of life, where we are self-focused and just living for ourselves, not caring about others. The pride of life. It says it's not of the Father, but is of the world. God calls us to love him. In fact, the greatest commandment is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And yet, so many times in our lives, we're between the desires of our flesh and the things of God. What are we going to do? What are we going to follow? Really, throughout every day, we are either following, even moment by moment, we're either following the lusts of our life, the lusts of our flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or we're following the Lord. This morning, two choices on the shelf is the phrase that you probably heard before, pleasing God or pleasing self. Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Let's say that together, all right? Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And so, throughout our day, as we live our life from day to day, from week to week, are we cultivating a walk with God? The theme at Victory Baptist Church this year, and the theme, of course, carrying over for Camp Victory, is to be closer to him, deeper in him, higher with him. And so as we draw near to the Lord, there's, first of all, the aspect that we need to be saved. We need to know that we're saved. We need to have trusted Jesus to save us. We know that we are sinners. We can't save ourselves. The only way we can be close to God is to be saved, to come by the way of the cross. And so, through faith in Jesus, we can see our sins forgiven. And when we trust Christ, God comes into our life. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And then we have the privilege to either to live for God. We've been liberated from sin. But yet as a Christian, we face this challenge between living in the old way, living for sin, living for the lusts and desires of our heart, or living for God. And so say it with me again, the whole phrase that's not all there. Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Who are we going to please? Are we going to please God? And so the Bible says here that we can't love both. Notice verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. If we love the world, God doesn't love you. No, that's not what it's saying. God loves all people, even the worst of sinners, and he wants them to be saved. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, we can't love both. You can't love complete opposites. We can't love the things of the world. We can't be living for self and love God. You see, loving God requires us to do what God likes, to do what God loves, to live a life for God. Otherwise, it's not love. If we are loving God, we are going to listen to God. And so in our lives, I would say even in my life, because I'm a human being, there's that daily challenge of either yielding to the Holy Spirit, walking step by step, yielded to God. All it takes is something to come across our path, whether it's something that's not working out, and it can arouse lusts like anger or frustration or a bad attitude, right? Well, is that of God? Are those things of God? No, that's a step after my lusts. When I encounter a difficulty, something that has the potential to be irritable, if I handle it with patience, with kindness, with gentleness, well, as I'm depending on God, he helps me to do that and to walk with God and to do that which is pleasing to him. During the camp week, we were challenged in a number of different ways, but one of those ways was really living our life in dependence upon God, with the Holy Spirit filling us, that we might live in dependence upon him. Because I am weak. I can't do the things of God. I can't live for God. If I set out to live for God in my own strength, I'm going to fail. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be weary of that because I can't do it in my own strength. And so the key to the Christian life is dependence upon God. The only way to please God is by depending on him. And as we head out these doors today and as we go into this week, we will either please God or please self. There's only two choices on the shelf. So notice that verse 15 again. It tells us to love not the world. And then the last part of the verse says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we can't love both. We can't live for both. Verse 16 broadens the definition of what are these worldly things. And it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so these are things we deal with day in and day out. And that's why I break it down in the title. We're either going to please God or please self. Verse 17 in the scripture says, the world passeth away and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have to consider in everything, am I pleasing God or am I pleasing myself? Am I pleasing God or am I pleasing self? Please notice over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know what his will is. And he goes on here in the next verse to talk about it a little bit further. In verse 18 he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God uses a very basic example of how when someone drinks alcohol, the alcohol controls them. The more alcohol you have, the more evident that is. But the Bible says here, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But we are to be controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And so who is controlling you? Are you pleasing God or pleasing self? Another passage here, chapter 4 of Ephesians first, chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful, what's that last word? Lusts. So in my life, I'm either going to be living in the old man, living in lusts. You see, when we get saved, God makes us a new creature in Christ. We are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I'm a new man in Christ. I don't have to live in the old way, in lusts. But you know what? The battle is still there against the spirit and the flesh. And if I am not sensitive to follow the Lord and sensitive to crucify my flesh, I will walk in the old man. And so that's what God says. He says in verse 17 again, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And then he goes on to describe many of those things. Their understanding darkened, they're alienated, ignorant, blind, past feeling, lascivious, unclean, greediness. I mean, all these characteristics of the flesh. I'll tell you what, if you live in the flesh, you watch corruption on television. You live in the flesh, you think about things that are not right. Whether that's envious thoughts, angry thoughts, jealousy, or impurity in other ways. If we are walking in the flesh, well, those are the works of the flesh. And sometimes when we've been saved for a long time and we've, you know, grown in church and things like that, sometimes our lusts are not as obvious, right? Because our lusts are kind of polished, you know, they're not so obvious. But you know what? God sees. And we are either pleasing God or pleasing self. There's two choices on the shelf. We're either living for lusts, our desires, our corrupt desires, selfish, prideful, as the Bible describes, But God says we need to put those off, verse 22 here in Ephesians 4. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Those are things we need to take off. With God's help, we can say no to the lusts of our flesh, and we can say yes to God. And so that's an important step that we identify, that we put off, it says in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, God isn't just looking for us to do better. I spoke with a man at the jail on this last Tuesday night about this matter. He was fairly convinced that he was a good guy and that he was trying to do better in his life now. And so that, you know, he was doing all he could, right? He was trying to be a better person, trying to be more thoughtful to others. He was trying to be kinder and to, you know, care about others and not be selfish and all those kind of things. I don't know all the things he was thinking of, what he was trying to do better, but that was what he told me, was that he was doing the best he could and he was trying to be a better person. And, you know, well, that sounds nice. It sounds great. I mean, obviously we don't want somebody to be a worser person, to not care. I mean, but I explained to him that by trying to be better is not going to save you. It's not really what God is looking for. God is not looking for us to try to be better. He's looking for us to submit ourselves to him. This man, I don't know for sure, but I don't think he was saved. Didn't seem to have an evident testimony that he had put his faith in Christ alone to save him. And in fact, I took him to Romans. Let's go over there ourselves. Took him to Romans chapter 9 and 10. And I'll look at just a couple of verses there that I showed him that day. Chapter 10, let's look at in verse 1. The Apostle Paul is concerned for the nation of Israel, for his own people. And notice what he says. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, or I give this testimony of them. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And so here's Paul bears record that the nation of Israel, his own people, were very zealous for God. They were passionate for God, but not according to knowledge. And notice verse 3, which is the key verse that I'd like to look at here. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, would you read it with me now? And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oftentimes, in our effort to be good, we miss the one who is good. And the Christian life, being saved, is about recognizing we can't save ourselves and that we recognize Jesus died for our sin and that we cast ourselves on Christ alone. Salvation is not earned by going to church. It's not earned by trying to be a better person. It's not earned at all, because we don't deserve to be saved, but Jesus died that we might be saved. And so anyone can be saved if they would trust God to do what he said he would do. As a saved person, the same way is how we need to live our Christian life. Not with self-determination of, I'm going to try to not get angry. I'm going to try to resist watching those those, you know, programs I know don't honor God. Well, yes, certainly we should be motivated to do what's right, but we have to start with dependence on God. Lord, I need your help. And that starts with spending time with God. Because the only way to live a spiritual life and not a fleshly life is to start with God. And that's why spending time with God, first thing in the morning, is important. Spending time in prayer, seeking God and asking for his strength. And as we go throughout our day, mindful of God, depending on God, seeking him to help us. So when we come to those times that are, and we have them throughout the day, whether it's a temptation of sinful things or just a hardship that can cause friction or whatever, we must be walking in the Spirit so that we can handle those things with God's grace, so that we can turn away from temptation and not be fooled by it, so that we can respond with kindness and patience instead of frustration, anger. And so walking in the Spirit is the key to the Christian life. And so let's go back over here to Ephesians 4 for a moment. God tells us to not live like the old man that we used to be before we were saved. He says, put off, verse 22, Ephesians 4, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. And now would you read verse 23 together with me? It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need that renewal. That's why spending time with God daily is important. And at Camp Victory, we emphasized that. This year, in the Huddles classes, we emphasized the importance of spending time with the Lord daily, of even having a spiritual diary where we are writing down things God is teaching us and spending time talking to God in prayer. And so the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, we've got to think right. We've got to depend on God, and we've got to renew our mind in his word. And then verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. That is what we need. And that is what pleases God. Me simply trying to do right is not what pleases God, but me submitting to God and allowing him to help me as I obey him, as I trust him, as the song says, trust and obey. That's how we can please God. And so say with me again the two choices on the shelf, the whole thing. There are two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. We need to depend on God to please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to depend on him and walk in obedience to him. And so moment by moment, as we walk step by step, are we walking with a consciousness of God and a dependence on God, seeking him to guide us, seeking for his strength, seeking for his spirit to fill us? Or are we just living for our own heart's desires? God says to love not the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God tells us that we can have sweet fellowship with him when we are walking in the light, when we are walking in obedience. All right, and so, as we come to challenges in our life, points of difficulty, points that expose whether we're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. As we come to points of difficulty, we need to do a couple of things. First of all, we need to stop. All right? So let's consider a situation, and it could be different in all kinds of things. I mean, we could identify 100 different situations, but there's times that they're just more intense, whether it's a temptation, something we're watching, an advertisement, or a phone call we receive that's frustrating, or something that's not working out, or something that got broken, or, you know, all kinds of different scenarios, relational conflict, whatever, can come up. And those are points that expose what we've been walking in. Have we been walking in the Spirit or in the flesh? Because if we're walking in the Spirit, frustration doesn't come out in a bad attitude, you know? If we're walking in the Spirit, peace, gentleness are going to come out in those situations. And love. So we need to stop. When we come to points like that, we need to first of all stop. All right, so say that with me. When we come to points of difficulty or temptation, we need to stop. Go ahead and put your hand up, all right? We need to stop. We need to think, right? Think, and we need to turn it over to God, okay? So we come to difficulty, what do we need to do? Stop. Right? Because if we just go with the flesh and roar, you know, frustration or bad attitude or what have you, or if it's a temptation, we just keep watching it or whatever, we need to stop. Hold on. I need to think. God loves me. God cares for me. I need to turn this over to God. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? This is irritating. This is difficult. Man, how did I get here? You know, we need to stop. Do it with me, all right? Stop, think, turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. Let's go over here in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's notice verse 4 and following. Philippians 4, verse 4. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. All right? That's all the time. All the time. So really, there is never supposed to be a time that we're not joying in the Lord. All right? So God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Okay? So keep that in mind. And then let's go to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation. Moderation means gentleness, patience, mildness. So really, you know, there this steadiness, this consistency should be evident. That's what it says here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. All right? Moderation also, the word also means to be equitable. Another word would be to be just. All right? To be just, equitable. Means to be free from bias or favoritism. All right, so there's an equity here. There's a gentleness, a patience, a mildness. And God says this should be evident. So it should be evident that we are faithful, that we are steady plodders, that we're gonna be faithful to the Lord, whether things are going our way or not. We're going to do right, even though we wanted to watch this. We thought it was okay, but turns out it's not so good, and we turned it off. Yeah, we're gonna be faithful. We're gonna honor the Lord. Okay, so the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. All right? Recognizing the presence of God is near. Notice verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. All right? So the idea here of anxiety. We don't need to be anxious for things. All worked up. Fearing and all those things. Be careful for nothing. But, what does it say? Read it together with me. But, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, so God says, don't worry, turn it over to me, right? Pray about everything. It says in there, everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. I was working on that verse a little earlier this year, and it's a familiar verse, but there were situations I was, you know, working with in my mind, and I was repeating that. Everything by prayer. Oh, Lord, this is not going my way. This is not going how I expected it to. I give this to you. Lord, please work. What do you want me to thank you for? It says everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then, notice verse 7, it says, and the, what's the next three words? Peace of God. All right? So, there's things here. We were to rejoice in the Lord always. Our moderation is to be evident. We're practicing the fact that the Lord is near. We're not worrying about things. We're praying about them. And we're thanking God. And God says, I will give you peace. Peace, verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. That's like guard. Shall keep or hold secure your hearts and, what's the next word? Minds. Well, we need that. Through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, he tells us what to think on, what we should be thinking on. We should be thinking on that which is right and good and lovely and holy and true and pure and virtuous, right? Think on these things. Okay, so let's draw this here to a close. But we talked about when we encounter a difficulty, we're talking about in daily life. We're not talking about extravagant things that only happen, you know, once a year or once a month or whatever. We're talking about daily life. We're talking about yet this day. We're to stop, right? Because I'm not going to live in the flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to live for God. So I encounter a difficulty. I need to stop. I need to think. Lord, I need you. And turn it over to God. So stopping in my path to depend on God, right? I'm stopping in my path. I'm thinking, I need God. Lord, I need your help to work through this situation. It's not necessarily we have to say that out loud, although in some situations it might be good. But we're stopping and we're saying, Lord, I need you. So stop. Help me now, all right? Number one, stop. Think. Turn it over to God. What do you want me to thank you for? What do you want me to praise you for? God says, rejoice in the Lord always. God says here in verse 6, after talking to us about how we should pray, it says, praying what? With thanksgiving. Okay? So, I'm faced with a temptation. It's attacking, it's coming at me, and it's catering to one of my lusts. All right, hold on. Lord, I need you. I stop. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to go this way. This is not right. I want to follow you. And maybe there would be a scripture God would bring to our mind. Maybe there's a scripture we need to work on so it's in our mind of what should I think? I could think things like, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If I'm facing temptation, I know, hey, I don't have to go this way. I don't have to do this. I can do right with God's help. And so there's things we need to think about. And so that's where Scripture needs to be meditated on. That's where God's Word needs to be implemented in our life. Thy Word, the psalmist said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So stop, think, turn it over to the Lord. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And so really seeking to thank and praise the Lord and to seek His help. All right, more can be said there, but our time is up for today. Let's say this together, all right? Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. When we encounter a difficulty, what do we need to do? Stop, think, turn it over to God. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? And so I hope that that would be a help to you, that we are intentional about seeking God's help, intentional about pleasing God and walking in the light, walking in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for these important truths that we've been able to look at today. We need your help to put off the old man with his corrupt ways. And we need your help to put on the new man, which is renewed in righteousness and true holiness. Lord, help us as we encounter difficulties this week, as we will, this day we will. Help us to stop, to think about what's right, what's lovely, what's true, and turn it over to you, everything by prayer, with thanksgiving. And always rejoicing. And so what you want us to praise you for? What do you want us to thank you for? Lord, help us to consider these important truths as we navigate through this day, this week. We thank you, Lord, for this. Help us to please you and to glorify you and to grow in Christ as we meditate on your word and all those things this week. In Jesus' name, amen.